Kansas News Service was established by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. It's now been defunded, a major loss to the entire state of Kansas, where news is scarce in many places. We're relocating it to Wichita so that KMUW can ensure it continues to provide statewide news for Wichita and beyond. You can help at KMUW.org.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, June 16th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Remembering the legacy of Symphony in the Flint Hills. We'll hear that after the news. More than 300 people traveled to a greenhouse at Southwestern College in Winfield Monday to see and smell a rare event. The crowds were on hand to take a whiff of the rare Titan arum, or corpse flower. The Sumatran giant takes its name from the smell it produces every 5 years or so when it blooms. Max Thompson built the greenhouse with his students in the 1970s. The retired biology professor and greenhouse director says the flower has been known to leave quite an impression.
Last time it bloomed in 2020, we had a group of firemen come down and look at it from the fire station. One of them smelled it, walked out, and vomited. He said he would not be coming looking at this one.
The bloom is short-lived. The plant started blossoming on Sunday and had begun to wither by Monday afternoon. Teacher contract talks at Wichita Public Schools have reached a stalemate. As KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports, the district has requested federal mediation.
Union negotiators say the Wichita School District declared an impasse after the two parties could not agree on key issues. That includes student behavior, teacher planning time, and pay. Now a federal mediator will step in to broker the contract talks. Katie Warren is president of the Wichita Teachers Union.
Our educators continue to face increasing workload, growing student needs, staffing shortages, and a rising cost of living. The raise that's been offered does not reflect the work being asked of them or the challenges that they face in today's classroom.
The district did not immediately respond to a request for comment. If the impasse remains at the start of the fall semester, last year's contract could stay in effect until the two parties reach an agreement. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
Wheat harvest season is starting in Kansas, and many farmers are disappointed with the results. As Kaylin Moore of the Kansas News Service reports, short and drooping wheat will cost farmers.
Wheat is a foundational crop for Kansas, but this year it's coming up short. First, it was the unusually warm winter, then it did not rain enough, and then disease and hail damage set in. The Kansas Wheat Commission reports over half of the harvested wheat has been poor quality. Some models show yields will be down 30% from last year. Logan Simon, an agronomist for Kansas State University, says 20% of the wheat crop has been abandoned entirely.
Which is very high for Kansas. That's not common for us. I would argue that most of that's going to be in southern and western Kansas.
Simon says that with its low quality, some farmers are losing money harvesting this year's wheat. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
All three newly appointed federal judges in Kansas have written that every person, regardless of immigration status, is entitled to due process. Zach Boblett reports that due process has been an issue at the federal court level in Kansas.
A 2001 Supreme Court decision found that due process extends to all people inside the U.S. and that the government cannot indefinitely detain people after a deportation order. An outgoing federal judge in Kansas District Court had to release detained immigrants because they were held longer than legally allowed. In written testimony, all three federal judge appointees, former KBI Director Tony Mativi, Great Bend Attorney Jeffrey Kuhlman, and former Kansas Solicitor General Anthony Powell, agreed that due process extends to immigrants. However, Kuhlman did allow for some legal wiggle room. He wrote that the level of process that is due depends on the specific circumstance or deprivation at issue. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
Property taxes in Kansas continue to be one of the major issues on the gubernatorial campaign trail. The three Democratic candidates hoping to replace Governor Laura Kelly differ on the issue. One of those candidates, Overland Park Mayor Kurt Skoog, says property taxes are primarily a local issue with one exception.
There are state issues. There's 20 mills, right, that comes from the state.
While promoting the low property tax rate in Overland Park, Skoog says he wants to, quote, build consensus on the issue. State Senator Ethan Corson wants to double the exemption on assessed property values. He also plans to freeze property taxes for senior citizens, give a tax credit for renters, and offer all Kansans tax breaks on vehicle registration. State Senator Cindy Holscher wants to stop giving corporate tax breaks at the state level, which she says passes the tax burden to local governments. Former Wichita State University men's basketball player Landry Shamet is now the latest Shocker to win an NBA championship after his New York Knicks defeated the San Antonio Spurs 4-1 over the weekend. Shamet is the fifth Shocker to earn an NBA title. The Kansas City native averaged 7 points and 2 rebounds off the bench in the 5 games against the Spurs. Shamet played for 3 seasons at Wichita State, leading the team twice to the NCAA tournament. The other NBA champions from Wichita State are Nate Bowman, Dave Stallworth, Cliff Levingston, and before Shamet, most recently Fred VanVleet with the Toronto Raptors in 2019. United Way of the Plains will host its 3rd annual Day of Action on Thursday. The event is an effort to mobilize volunteers to complete on-site projects at a dozen local organizations. It kicks off at 8:30 a.m. Thursday at Distillery 244 with a welcome by Wichita City Council member Joseph Shepard. After that, volunteers will work through the morning at Exploration Place, Humankind, Atwater Community Center, and the International Rescue Committee, among other places. Registration for the Day of Action has closed, but people can visit volunteertoday.org for other volunteer opportunities. People are being invited to bid a temporary farewell to a Northeast Wichita attraction this week. The Great Plains Nature Center will close soon for about 2 years while the building undergoes major repairs and renovations. People are invited to say goodbye to the center at a special event from 9 to 4 Thursday. The event will include animal ambassador encounters, scavenger hunts, and more. After that, the visitor center will close until work is complete sometime in 2028. Chisholm Creek Park will remain open during construction. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMUW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. On a Saturday last June at the Evans Family Ranch in Chase County, the Symphony in the Flint Hills wrapped up its 20-year run. The annual event celebrated the Tallgrass Prairie through music, art, and education, and it honored the state's history and its bond with the land. Local film director Matt Crow has created a documentary about the event's history and impact. Roger Nomer talked with Crow about the film.
There's nothing like it. And when you get something like this in life, you cherish it and realize it's one of a kind.
Matt, how did you first get interested in the symphony in the Flint Hills?
So when I was in school at Wichita State, there was a program, a class called the Flint Hills Media Project. We would go out there and do some stories about the symphony, do some stories about the town and the community and the people. And then at the end of the semester, we'd put together a magazine and then some other like multimedia content online as well.
Is there something you discovered during the process of making this documentary that surprised you about the symphony that you didn't know before?
Absolutely. Just kind of the mindset of how it started. It was kind of born out of concern about the land usage in the early 2000s. So at that time, they were talking a lot about expanding the wind towers that we see in some places on the horizon. They were concerned specifically for the land in the Flint Hills, not the idea of wind energy itself, if that makes sense. They didn't want to do this like a negative protest. They wanted to just invite people out there in hopes of understanding why they loved that space and maybe fight to protect it alongside them.
Can you talk about why it's important to tell the story and preserve the symphony through your documentary?
I tried to keep the same theme that their original mindset was of not doing something negative. So while we do discuss like some of the land issues from the early 2000s, this is kind of a positive story, and it discusses some topics that are still relevant 20 years later. But I hope that you'll think it's interesting and form some opinions about the Flint Hills, whether you live here or not. I just think if you're from outside the Midwest, I hope you think this is just an interesting story about people going to great lengths to celebrate art and history and music and land usage and things like that.
You've studied the symphony a lot, and you've done this documentary about it. You've attended it many times. What do you think the future of the symphony should be? Is this something that should continue in Kansas?
That's a great question. I hope somebody takes up the mantle, and you don't have to do something so grand, but I think you could regularly do some events that draw people out into that area. Something like 3% of the original Tallgrass Prairie still exists. It used to stretch from the Canadian border to the middle of Texas, and now almost all of it is in the Flint Hills of Kansas. So just to get people out there to understand that, but also to meet other people, it really brought people from all over. And I think that's important too, not only for the people in the city, but for the people in the rural area to meet people from the city, maybe see if we can share some ideals or some, you know, love for the lands or the art or culture or music or something like that.
And there's more of Roger Nomer's conversation with Matt Crow at KMUW.org. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
KMUW's next literary feast is Wednesday, June 24th at 6 p.m. We'll discuss the Pulitzer Prize winner, Angel Down, by Daniel Krauss. Dinner is provided by public, and participants are invited to bring a beverage to share. Tickets are $15, available at kmuw.org. Literary Feast is made possible by The Spice Merchant, a founding sponsor of the Arts and Culture Fund.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.